Do it. Let's do it all three. 1, 2, 3.
One half a step too late or too early, you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. On this team, we fight for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know that's the difference between winning and losing.
Mean in the Green is right here for you.
That's football.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green. Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that!
Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
All right, I cut it off a little too early, but first of all, that's our new intro. We're changing it up a little bit. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
And today we are being joined by a special guest.
Graham.
Graham, thanks for joining us. We'll get into who you are in just a minute. We definitely want to talk about the new intro because that was definitely a change, but we decided to spice it up. I've got to give a shout out and a thanks to my good friend Brian, who is a very eclectic individual who put that together for us. And he is not just some guy working in his basement putting that together. He is definitely a professional. So we appreciate that. And
Evan hangs out with, you know, the kind of upwardly mobile, you know.
I don't know.
Crowd. So that's kind of cool. That was a nice side benefit of that.
He's in the Indian Princesses with me and my daughter. His daughter was in it. But no, he's a great guy. And he put that together because he listened and knew that we had been doing this for 10 years.
Yep.
And he's a professional and decided, hey, I think these guys could use a little help.
Absolutely.
I think he felt sorry for us. And I think the fact that we had one winning season in the past 10 years also helped.
Does he feel sorry for us because we're North Texas fans or just because, like, the podcast suffers?
Definitely. I think there's a multitude of reasons. But here we are. It is officially getting close to the summer. We're going to be getting into the 2016 season. Right now we're in spring ball. We've got a new coach, a new outlook, an extension on the basketball. I mean, there's a lot of great things happening right now. So, we've got a lot to talk about. I know it's kind of everybody's downtime where their wives get to see them and visit them right this time of year. So it's going to be just kind of a filler for the spring of what we can talk about.
Well, spring training's here. I did get a chance to go down and watch practice. Believe it or not, I didn't have to watch it through the fence. I actually got to go inside the fence, and it was fun. Great weather. What can you say? I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know I'm not the biggest fan of spring. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of guys that you've never heard of show up all of a sudden, and then they don't show up in the fall, and there's a lot of, questions about, you know, if your offense is really good, is it because of the defense you're playing against and vice versa? But I will say this, that I was very impressed with Alec Morris, the quarterback transfer from Alabama. I mean, I spent a lot of time watching him. Obviously, he's in there really as the number one guy, getting the lion's share of reps. Quinn Shanbar, the walk-on, is sort of the second string guy right now, and I was pretty impressed with him too. But Alec Morris is the real deal, folks. I mean, yes, he hasn't played a game, and we won't really know till the lights go on in Apogee, but he's big. He's got a big arm. He has some confidence, a swagger to him. Just tight spiral, great touch. Frankly, I kept telling myself, man, how cool would this be if we had a guy like this for 4 years, you know, instead of 1 year. But I was impressed with him, Evan. I think this kid could be really something quite special this year if we can keep him healthy.
Well, we got a ways to go until the season starts, so I don't want to be too excited, and we have a long history of getting
Wait, why
too
not
excited.
Be too excited? I mean, it always ends up really well, right?
I don't know.
It
Our quarterback situation.
I mean, there's no reason to not be.
I don't know.
We're talking about
another
quarterback
in spring? The
curse of
the goat or whatever it is.
So weird.
There's something about quarterbacks going into, oh, look, Brock Berglund. Brock Berglund. Berglund. Brock Berglund. Oh, look, he's got this great. You know what, Brock Berglund? I mean,
there was a Quinn Shambour drop already in like in our spring podcast.
Yeah,
we just have way too many of those situations where we've been really excited. So you know what, I want to be. Things are looking good on paper.
New coach, new system. I mean, it's a fresh start, but you know, we still only won a game last year. You know, I mean, it's hard to separate from that, and I think that's kind of why. I don't know. It just seems quieter on the board and things right now. I just think people are
petty.
Last season hurt. I think last season still stings, and people are just wanting to distance.
It didn't happen,
from that.
Dude. It didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even
about.
Go to the board this time of the year. I go in there. I just had to log back into the board because
it's negative.
It is too. Because they have nothing. The people that are on there this time of year, I'm sorry, but you've got to find something to do during the off season. You know, you've got to have some levity. You've got to have something in your life.
That's because, positive.
That is positive. Exactly. It is just.
I mean, just to say, we had success just a couple of years ago. So, I mean, I'm kind of sick of talking about how bad it is, I think, a lot. Because just 2 years ago, there was a little bit of fun. You know, there we were able to enjoy it a little bit. Now, I get it, like. That was a few years ago, and it's over, and it's an even new staff, and all the guys from that team are gone, you know, whatever. But, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was doom and gloom, typical North Texas fan stuff. And, but, you know, I mean, this is the time of year when, you know, you can be really – you can overhype things. You can be happy because you – I mean, everybody right now should be somewhat positive just because we have a new staff and a new – everything's new. Now, we always have a new quarterback, and he always ends up – then we have another new quarterback when that quarterback gets benched midseason. But, you know, maybe this time, you know, he'll hang around for a little bit and we can actually see somebody develop and it not just be, you know, a panic move like it has been. I feel like the past couple quarterback changes midseason have been panic moves. And maybe this time, whether there's not somebody behind him that's capable enough or – and they just let him ride it out even if he is bad, whatever. I would like to see a little bit more stability no matter if he's really crapping the bet or not.
Well, right. I mean, we'd like to see a lot of stability. We'd like to see maybe a little a pattern of winning.
A touchdown here and there, maybe?
Yeah, a little. I'm not
to
asking
a receiver,
for a whole lot.
Perhaps.
But, you know, it really is. We forget that 2 years ago we had a great season. We had a great bowl win. It was a great season. But when it comes down to it is we get a taste and it's do you want to lick? Nah, you know, it's you get yeah. right back out of it, and we can't build. It's hard to build a feeling because it just seems like there was almost an accident, and you don't want it to be that feeling.
Well, yeah, what you just said just now is perfect. I mean, because you, and that's kind of, you know, I remember that was something in a lot of the interviews for the second season of the show. I was asking people, asking players and coaches, tell me why last year wasn't a fluke, and you know. Lo and behold, it became a fluke because we went 4-8 that year, and then you know 1-11, was it 1-11? That's how bad it was, right? Yeah, okay. You know, it was just. I mean, you want to sit there and say like, was that just some freak accident where we had, you know, a team led by 17 seniors that just found a way to win, you know, two or three games and made it happen, and then went on to you know win the bowl game, and you know, and again, it makes the poor quarterback play we've had for the past few years has made DT look like this much better quarterback than maybe he really was. I mean, I like DT. I thought he was a good quarterback. But
like DT?
Been,
you freaking love DT. Man.
Me?
God, you idolize him.
Yeah.
It just got weird all of a sudden.
It just got
but
really
whatever.
Uncomfortable. No,
anyway,
but I, you know.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just
yeah,
it,
no,
it,
no,
it made everything kind of – since 14 and 15 were so bad – I almost just kind of want to think about 13 because it's something nice to think about, you know, that did happen.
Yeah, and also yeah. In 2013, we lost to UTSA on our home turf. And you and I cried on each other's shoulders in New Orleans.
In the fetal position.
In the fetal position when we made that trip all the way up there just to get our ass beat by Tulane. So, you know, I'm sorry that was a great year. I love that year, but it wasn't the greatest. You know what I mean?
No,
I hope at some point we can have an even better year.
We were right. Every year, even when we had the bowl games, the first bowl game, we lost to Troy, we had to lose. You know, there was a lot of things that really left a bad taste in your mouth. It's like we've never had a year where things were great.
where everything fell into place.
Where everything fell into place, and we need a year like that. And we don't, you know what? We don't have to have a year that's like that. I just want a few years of winning, and that's really what we need.
Or something.
We've
positive.
Got
Maybe
so
not
many
winning.
Fans. We've got so many students showing up to the game. So many fans that have yet to see and really get that winning feeling. And the way that the program and the fan following has grown with very mediocre results is simply amazing to me.
I agree.
And the
you and I
that
say
there,
that all the time. I mean,
it is pretty amazing. So it is what it is. We just hope this will be our year. But you know what? A lot of us we've talked about this last year. This is our 10th year of doing these podcasts. We've had one winning season in those 10 years. 158.
You know, I think that, okay, let me just ask you this then. I haven't been to the board that much recently either, really since signing day.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, I'm just – well, it's too negative. It gets a little bit annoying to read sometimes when it's so consistently negative. And I understand there's not much to be positive about right now. I get that. But
well, it's promises, okay? Even when I was there and I got excited, I was getting that feeling driving back home from practice – you know, reality sunk in, and it's like, I've felt this way before, and it didn't work out. So you're kind of scared to give that part of yourself, you know, to something that has so many times let you down.
Hey, I was the idiot who going into last season said that I was really excited about this team, and I thought that we were going to, you know, surprise some people. And, you know, I told
you weren't
a
the
lot
only
of,
one.
And I mean, but I did. I went on the record on this damn podcast, and I sat there and say, hey, listen, there's, you know, I think we're going to, I'm more excited about going into 15 than I was going into 14. And it totally – so really now, you know, this spring, I'm reading a little bit. You know, I've gone up there. I haven't gone to practice yet, but I went up there in between a signing day and practice and just talked to some people and talked to some players and stuff like that. And it was just – there's, you know, there's a reason why I'm kind of distancing myself a little bit because I don't want to get overhyped. And, I mean, it's spring. So many things can happen.
All right, so I'm going to play something that's going to segue into our guest here to see what his feelings are of this. This
is it ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
No, no, but if we had to pay royalties on that song every time we played it in the last 158 58 podcasts, Winner's family would have a lot of money. All right, here, so I'm going to play something I got today. Here he goes. Ready? My phone just went to sleep. I wanted that. Here he goes.
Hey, Damon, this is Michael Williams calling from North Texas Athletics. I wanted to speak with you about coming out to our spring football game, which is going to take place next Saturday, April 23rd at 2 p.m. We'd love to have you in attendance. And we wanted to talk to you about renewing your season tickets as well. I know you are wanting to come back because we want to see you. We'd like to take care of that now before the spring game started. If you can do that, we can get you and your guests down on the field before the spring game starts to watch the pregame warm-up. But give me a call. Love to speak with you, 940-369-5382. Talk to you later.
All right, for those of you listening on the podcast, we're going to take a quick break because I got to play this for the guys in the room who didn't hear that. For those of you in the chat room, you heard it, but I'm going to play it for the guys so we can actually talk about it because I'm the only one with headphones on, and so they have no idea what I just played. So hold on a second. That wasn't my brightest radio move there, podcast move, but... So I made a donation before the end of the year so I could get that tax deduction for next year. So I upped my Mean Green membership. I'm excited about that. But I did not renew my tickets because I was waiting to see what was going to happen with the club. And I decided that now I'm just going to do I usually bring my family of four, and then we usually bring guests. So we're just going to keep the seats that I've had since the stadium opened, which are on the 50, but about midway
good
up.
Seats.
Right, they're
I've
good seats.
With
right, so... Yeah. So, we're not in the suite mode. So, Harry, I know, has already had a bad experience because I got some pretty upsetting texts from Harry when he called to try to renew his tickets.
You're going to get me in trouble.
we'll go into that. Ashton, have you had any issues here?
No, not yet.
All right. So,
I haven't renewed my season tickets, though, either. So.
Oh, that's right. Somebody gets on the freebies coming.
Yeah, you know those sideline passes I've been rocking the past few years. No, I had last year. I didn't have season tickets. I didn't have my club. I didn't renew my club seats last year. But the 2 years before that, I did have my club seats still, and I was still
I remember
down on the field and everything like that.
Right, I knew you had tickets even though you were down on the field most of the time. So joining us in the studio is probably the most definitely a higher visibility, upstanding person
than we
have usually here, right? We usually have some hack who has nothing better to do come up and join us. But
sorry, Brett.
Yeah, sorry, Vito. And
I didn't say that.
That was wrong. No, join us in the studio today. In the studio, this is really big. Is Graham Douglas. Now, for those of you that don't know who he is, you should, because he has won some of those awards that 99.9% of the people that listen to this podcast have never even been to the ceremony. He was awarded the Young Alumni Award. Graduated in 05.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And longtime fan. You've been following the Mean Green for a while?
Since I was a kid, yeah.
All right. Well, since you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. Way back.
Oh, wow. See, most of us just started following like when we were in college and realized that what we were getting into. So,
no, we didn't realize what we were getting into.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Mine was the opposite. I didn't know what I was getting into until I got to college.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff here. We're very prestigiously in the Forbes 30 Under 30 for marketing and advertising, which is pretty wow. I mean, that's a big deal.
It's
so
impressive.
You know, very congratulations on that. But it's all downhill from there.
Absolutely. Well, the one stat that no one's mentioned is that I still hold a high ranking score on the Golden Tee that's in Cool Beans right now. I just checked it out yesterday. I'm still there. So
wow.
Yeah.
So you
still
had the blister.
You were that jackass.
Oh,
I see on that. I worked at Cool Beans for 4 years. So
I was that jackass.
Damn you. I'm going to call my friends. We're gonna go there.
If you hung out at Cool Beans, he was that guy with the blisters and the glove, you know, and doing the whole.
You better believe it.
The wow, Golden Tee. That is great.
That's a good game,
like,
man.
Did you smack
that's
it when you would roll it? Were you one of those guys that kind of came in like hot like that? Or was it more
two thumbs
on the bottom?
Every
depends on the shot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Every shot's a little bit different, you know.
Okay, but seriously, tell us, Graham, tell us what you do, what you've done since graduation. Obviously, I mean, looking at your list here, yeah, I'm not going to accomplish this on my whole life. So it's pretty impressive what you got. Tell us exactly your background and what you're doing now, where you live, everything.
Yeah, so I'm an 05 graduate of North Texas. I graduated with an advertising degree there.
What town were you from? I thought I heard y'all talking earlier.
Wataguha.
Yeah, Wataguha, or as some may know it, Watauga, Texas. Yeah, so North Fort Worth. I'm a Fort Worth kid.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up I grew up in Bedford, but I frequented Wataguha.
Bedford.
Yeah.
Across the tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were across the tracks.
Across Highway 26 to get to the Keller-Wataguha area.
Yeah, to really make it.
totally. Without question.
So, yeah, I'm a Metroplex kid, too. I went to UNT, got out in 05, and then kind of went on a little bit of a nomad ship for a while. I lived in... Worked in Miami for a little while, Minneapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, Amsterdam, and now am in New York, where I've been for the last 6 or 7 years. And I've been a creative and creative director for pretty much that whole time, one way or another.
And you graduated in 05.
That's right.
And
yeah.
You worked all those places?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we need to work on keeping a job, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, that it is.
It's an intervention. It's not really a podcast. Yeah. Like, hey, man, listen.
Why are my parents here right now?
Exactly. Yeah. There's the next room is up. Some people need to talk to you.
Some of us graduated college and we're just bringing with us that we can make a quarter in a glass. Obviously, you did something else with your education. And that's good.
Talk about a little your time. You know, we've over the years, Evan and I have talked about our time as students and stuff. But, you know, was the North Texas athletics thing from day one when you were there? At UNT, or did it kind of happen after that?
I mean, I drank the Kool-Aid a little bit on day one, but I also happened to be there in the good years. It was before the dark
years.
Ages. Yeah. I was there in the Dickey days, but you know, granted, still going to Fouts Field, still watching some dark green jerseys play teams the like of Louisiana Monroe. And middle, yeah, exactly. Sunbelt. So, you know, I don't think I missed a single home game. Went to as many away games as I could. But you know, I also got to see them go to New Orleans Bowl a few times, and got to see players like Scott Hall and Booger and guys like that.
Evans always had that theory that when you have good years like that, the fan when you have good seasons that. It helps breed a better, you know, a more intense fan, you know.
Well, just like you were talking about, those trips to New Orleans, you probably went with friends.
Fun.
You went with friends, and you had a reason to go. Everybody was excited about mm-hmm. that. I had friends in college. I graduated in 97, and I had guys. I had guys that were the New Orleans Bowl were still in college, and they started the same time, and they were still working on their bachelors. I just realized that, but they weren't really huge fans. But when that New Orleans Bowl, it was like it was a journey. And when you're in college, you live for those experiences.
Oh yeah.
And that's what those guys are doing. I mean, that's those times. Those are what people remember, and they remember the excitement. And a lot of those people went to the recent game in Dallas.
Absolutely.
Because they remembered, oh, this is a great atmosphere and everything. So those winning teams, those bowl experiences, I don't care if it's, you know, the New Orleans Bowl, which didn't carry the prestige of a lot of bowls. What it did was bring people to have that college experience. And that's where you get the fans coming back, bringing their kids and everything else.
Absolutely.
Well, the bowl game for the fan is half football and half everything else, mm-hmm. like experience. If it's a cool city or whatever, it's just the fact of going and basically you're just celebrating. I mean, I graduated college 1 year before you did. I mean, mm-hmm. so I was there during the bowl.
No, the
and
best.
It was like, that's, I walked into that, and it was, that's why in like starting, you know, in like 05 and then 06 and 07, and as just watching it kind of go downhill, it's like, wait, this isn't the North Texas. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't just used to that much. Like, I decided to go to North Texas, or was actually going about to enroll in North Texas when we upset Tech, and it was like, what was that, 98?
Yeah,
right.
And like that was, so I was already seeing like, oh, this is really cool. And you know, I didn't grow up a North Texas fan, but I mean, I became a fan like early on. Like, I mean, I remember, I think like late junior high, and then I knew that I wanted to go there for, you know, RTVF degree. And it was, yeah, it's been hard for, I think, people like around our age to just walk into that kind of thing. What are you doing with the notes over there? You don't ever pick up the pen.
Well, I was going to ask him a few more questions, but keep going. Do you remember what games and experiences do you remember from the football that from your time there? Because I think you're in a slightly different period than most of us.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember some of the. I remember the defense, honestly, more than anything.
Yeah, sure.
That was the brand of football that we were playing back then, and you had guys like. I remember one of the first games I went to. Booger had 4 sacks in the first quarter, might have been the first half. I might be remembering it wrong.
The Chris Sims,
yeah,
the UT game,
absolutely,
yeah.
Yep.
That was awesome.
And a block punt, I think, mm-hmm. too. So it was the brand of football that was just exciting to watch and sit on the sidelines.
Well, when we had those, when we had the back to back rushing years. I mean, that was
right,
and that was awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. One guy goes down, the next guy just next man up.
Jamario and
yeah,
Patrick Jamario Cobb
just walks up, and that's like the Bill Belichick mentality, where like, oh, don't worry, the guy behind him is fine, and he'll. It's like a system thing. And I mean, I remember that, and that just was awesome.
I mean, I remember rushing the field after, what game was that when we solidified?
They clinched the
was
ball.
That
yes.
New Mexico? No.
No, it was no. at Fouts though. I remember
it was at Fouts.
Like, yep. It was,
oh, because
Arkansas
the guy
State
goes
something.
Something,
yeah.
Because
yeah. he talk like the guy. Remember when
yeah,
he was giving the trophy? Yeah.
Oh,
everybody, he was hearing the feedback.
The
you
invitation.
That?
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. Everybody thought he was drunk, but he said it was.
But
the
it was
feedback.
Such uncharted ground, you know, for the everyone. I know for me, for everyone associated with the program, to actually clinch a conference championship and know you're going to a bowl game. I mean, it just, you know, it was, like you said, it wasn't the Sugar Bowl, but it was in New Orleans, and it was a bowl game.
You know, that was the thing. New Orleans is a great place to have a bowl game.
Great place. And I think they really planned it out well because the hotels were reasonable enough to where people could go. You know what I mean? I think it was actually a well-thought-out bowl.
Yeah, it was. All right, so, Graham, obviously we're going to ask you a couple of questions about your college experience in North Texas. So, first place that comes to your mind, when you were at North Texas, favorite restaurant?
Sweetwater. Is this a rapid fire?
Well, it was going to be.
I don't like
maybe,
that answer. Guess again.
Maybe I should have asked, what was your favorite bar before that?
Oh, Lou's.
Lou's.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I spent
Lou's.
Way too many hours at Lou's.
Wow. Okay. And Cool Beans, obviously,
cool
for
beans.
The Golden Tea. Wow.
A little disappointed, no Flying Tomato there. But.
Oh, the Flying Tomato
wasn't
was
it
good.
Just the tomato by that time?
Yeah, it on, was just school. The tomato. What
the hell's the Flying
Mr.
Tomato?
Mr. Chopsticks.
It's a tough crowd.
I know. Yeah.
Mr.
Hey,
Chopsticks.
Mr. Chopsticks was a solid move.
All right. What was the, obviously, you were a different major than most of us. Well, yeah, you would have been a different. What was the building you spent the most time in?
Probably the General Academic Building. The most general, generic building on campus.
And it was and it looks
the GAB. Yeah,
the GAB.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the windowless basement.
Wow.
Yeah.
God,
bleak.
That's depressing to
it was
think
bleak.
About right
it was,
now.
Was, yeah.
I remember that classes building a lot. In that.
The whole the old student
that's
union was just depressing.
We're in that over by Fry Street or no?
Yeah, really close.
Yeah,
The RTVF building opened up, I think, my first year when I got to North Texas. So I was very lucky and fortunate that that building opened up because it was brand new and nice. And I remember a lot of people were bitching about the buildings they were in were Chilton or, you know, whatever.
Oh, the business building was old as hell.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, dorm.
Kerr Hall freshman year, Maple Hall sophomore year.
Wow.
Very nice.
It's quite a 1-2 punch there.
Yeah, Maple Hall, I have to say. That's the way to go.
All right, and if you were dating a girl when you were there, would you still be dating her if you went back?
I mean, I've been back, and I'm not still dating her.
No, I'd say, would you have a different choice?
But
because
are
like,
you?
In
answer the question, Graham. We are recording this.
At what point did you feel creepy when you see the co-eds? That's the point we all realize we are past it.
Yeah, as soon as the gray hair started to sprout, I think it's starts to get a little creepy.
Well, I think we've all been at a tailgating. I remember tailgating. You remember when they put the new parking lot in? They they covered one of the practice fields, put a parking lot there by Fouts, and we were parking there. It was the first year, I think, of that, which was several years, probably 7-8 years after graduating. And we were sitting there, and girls were walking by. And a few of us looked at each other and said, okay, this is officially creepy now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or those creepy old
point.
Guys.
Yeah.
That,
your mind hasn't changed, but yeah.
Right. So, well, what dorm were you in, Harry?
I was in an apartment for pretty much my whole time there. I did not stay in a dorm.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, you were part of the problem then.
I stayed at, you know, Woodhill on Teasley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Anyway, and
those were
at
pretty
the time,
high rent,
they were pretty, nice, but now I look at them and it's like they're kind of the low end of the deal. But at the time, they were fairly nice.
Yeah, my finest years were at Eagles Landing apartment right
from
the
whoa.
New rec center.
Sweet.
That was high living.
That was high living. I remember those. Those were pretty nice.
Oh yeah.
Pretty bad when you gauge the apartments on, you know, like how nice
which $600 apartment is the best, is the nicest apartment.
Oh, I lived on the other side of the tracks. I was on McKinney at the other side at Apple Creek.
Oh boy.
Which now
it's like we're closer to TCU. I mean, at TCU, TWU.
Yes, and there was quite a few girls.
A police station on McKinney?
Yeah, no. You had to take a right off McKinney to go to the police station. Well, yeah, I guess it came right there. Right past there. There was two sets of apartments.
When I graduated, I ended up moving into the new apartment building that was like that low income. It was like nice apartments, but for like low income families. And if you like didn't make a certain amount of money, and I was on student aid, and it was like I was a bartender, so I didn't technically make that much money according to the IRS. Because
you didn't report it.
Yeah, exactly. So we had this awesome apartment, 3-bedroom apartment with just two guys.
Okay, so and those were the apartments they built right next to the dumpy ones I live now.
That was
so
great.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys a story.
Working
about
the
this.
System.
I've never said this on the podcast, but I think enough time their statute of limitations run out. So when we lived at Apple Creek, we knew I had some friends that were running the place, but rented out rooms, stuff like that, rented out the apartments, and.
All right, we're out.
Wow.
I didn't have my phone on vibrate. Sorry. I got a text. So we had a maintenance guy there, and we got to know this maintenance guy who would pick up the trash, you know, just general use. So we gave him beer once in a while. We had parties and stuff. Well, he started dropping off VHS cassettes because that's what was around then.
What's VHS?
Yeah, smart ass. What he would do is he would take everybody's trash and throw it away. And when he was throwing all the trash away, he'd see people throwing away VHS. And
porn?
Homemade. And when some of them were North Texas cheerleaders.
Oh.
One of them had a North Texas cheerleader, her tryout for the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and her boyfriend all in the same video.
Oh, my gosh.
Triple feature.
We have to edit this out.
Yeah, that's recycling.
Well, I didn't say what was on it. I'm just saying that there was several. It was interesting footage. Then there was also, he would sit at the apartment The way the office was is the office, you know, when you're inside of a dark room looking outside and there's a bright light outside, you can't see through the glass because of the reflection. The hot tub was right there by the thing. And there one several times there was these certain North Texas girls soccer players that would come in there at like midnight, and he would be out checking the property and see that somebody's in the hot tub. He'd walk through the front and he'd grab his old big, you know, wearing a, you know, like a suitcase on his shoulder, video camera, and sit there and videotape these people in the hot tub. And they probably weren't in the best state of mind when they were in there.
So they didn't even know that.
Yes. So I started going to women's soccer games after that because I wanted to see what these girls look like on the field. But yeah, so that was my Apple Creek story. That was quite an interesting time that we had back in the day there. It was an interesting place.
I'm cheating a little bit, but I was talking to Graham before we started, and one of the things, it's always interesting, you've traveled all over, you know, but you have had the chance to come back and see what, I mean, does it kind of blow your mind? I know for us, Evan and I, old timers, being there a long time ago and seeing what the campus looks like now in Denton, I mean, is same thing for you as far as going back?
Yeah, I mean, even in the last decade or decade and a half, I mean, I feel like, you know, when you were a kid and you'd go see your grandparents like once every 6 months, and every time they would say, oh my God, you've gotten so big. I feel like that every time I get back to Denton. And I'm back once a semester probably. And it seems like every time I'm there, there's 4 new restaurants, 5 new bars, a new gallery, a new theater. I mean, it feels like it's really coming into its own right now.
It's pretty cool.
It's got that. I've had a lot of friends that I know that live in Austin that know Denton. And they're like, Austin has gotten so big commercial.
Too big,
too commercial, too, everything has just gotten to
traffic.
Point where it's not that laid back spirit anymore. And that's why I'm concerned for Denton. Because we all went to North Texas and lived in Denton back when it was, I mean, and it still is, you know, that kind of laid back music, free spirit, artsy kind of a place. And it's a rare situation where it's a small town, and then, you know, a lot of small town Texas have a lot of conservative. You've got a good mix in a town that's embraced that culture over the past 50 years of that artsy North Texas campus. At what point does it get too big and unaffordable and uncool?
Probably soon. I mean, if you think about it, people don't talk that highly about Austin anymore because it got too crowded. It got old. It was old hat. And then that's the way Denton's going to be in a few years. I mean, it's just everybody left Austin and they went to certain places. And a lot of them, I know a lot of them went to Denton. And then now they're starting to migrate out of Denton because Denton is still almost too big for the constructs of it. Like there's too many people in that area that they haven't. It's not that they haven't expanded enough because they don't have anywhere else to expand. They're putting so much stuff in such a little space, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why it just feels overly crowded. And
I'm happy that the downtown is done what it has, because Denton has always had a great little downtown area.
I went up for the Thin Line Festival and did some work with some of the guys over there. And I was walking around and getting some shots at night around the square, and I hadn't seen the square that packed. And they weren't even for the fest. They were just there hanging out. And it was like, wow, this is really cool. You know, I haven't seen the courthouse lit up like this with people, kids running on the grass and stuff like that. Like, that was cool. And I hadn't seen that. And I mean, I remember the last time I wanted to go down to the square on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's been that way. And I remember we always, after a football game, North Texas game, we drive through downtown. Because there's always people down there. You've got one side of the courthouse. You got guys out there with bongo drums, and you got your goth guys on the other side playing music,
asking for money.
That you've got that good mix of everything, and now all those little restaurants is open down there. You can go down there, and what's best about Denton, and this hasn't changed, because we went out there, I guess, in September one night, and we went out and went to one of the bars. I think there was 4 of us, and we had a lot of drinks, and I think our tab was 30-something bucks. That's what's still great about Denton.
Yeah, I brought some friends that went to North Texas for a couple of years. They transferred out of North Texas because they were always going to go to another school. Some of them went to A&M, and they came up with me to the UTEP game, or the UTSA game this past year. And we went over to – we stopped at Oak Street. We stopped at East Side. We went down to Fry Street to my old stomping grounds at Cool Beans and Rip Rocks. And they just wanted to see what it had turned into. And my buddy had bought a round of, like, you know, it was like four beers and four shots. And we, as we're going to the next place before the game, and he got his tab and he looked at me and he goes, God, I freaking love Denton. Because he was, you know,
$6.
Yeah, it was like $12, you know, buy one, get one, you know, and he just laughed because, you know, he lived there for 2 years, so he knew, and he always came up there and visited me when I was still going to school there. So he just, I think the people who don't frequent that much, it takes them by surprise. They forget how cheap it is sometimes drink wise. If they go to Dallas and get the same round, it's $60-$70. This was probably a $28 tab for eight different drinks, you know, and that was, I was like, whoa.
And it's gotten so much better. I mean, because I was telling Graham earlier, we never went down to the square right. back when I was there.
No.
There was no reason to really.
To square.
Yeah, I was trying to think. There was some, like, really half-ass antique stores. And
Jupiter House was about it.
You get some ice cream.
I wasn't there when I was there.
Like Beth Marie's or
yeah,
something
see,
like that.
Yeah, see, there was the Denton Hamburger Company was down there.
That's what I was just going to throw
out. That was down there. I don't remember if there was
my first bartending gig was at Andy's, so I was on the square a little bit. But when we got off, if we didn't close and there was still time left, my buddy Brian and I, we would go straight on down to Fry Street. Like,
yeah,
there was no reason to hang out there.
No, there wasn't.
You know?
Well, that was after the whole failure of Save Fry Street, you know, kind of had to have that feel. And the downtown's got great buildings, great architecture, great feel for, you know, a square that you can still do that.
But Fry Street is still Fry Street to a certain extent.
They've
still got some of the old places. They haven't changed. I know that there's the condo or the apartments that are there, and there's some.
It feels closed in for sure because there's like these high buildings.
But
on
the thing is
sure, but it's still great.
The people that were in the apartments that were around Fry Street when we were there, compared to the people that can afford the apartments
right.
down there now, you don't have the bums and
the
Delta House, the bums, and you just don't. You used to have this you used to have this really artsy crowd down there. You know the guy. You know people that were on the 10-year plan, but they weren't even going to school. You know, I mean, you used to have that. Now you've got the Daddy's Money family.
Well, a lot of players live over there too. I knew a lot. I mean, Reggie Pegram, he lived over there. Because, I mean, I know a lot of the – he said he lived across the hallway from a lot of the guys. I was always surprised that, like, some of the athletes did live on Fry Street. I mean, just
– yeah, but there wasn't –
thinking about athletes living on Fry
Street is kind of strange. They built that huge huge complex that surrounds Cool Beans,
sure.
You just didn't have a lot of housing that people wanted to go down there.
That's what I was going to say. There wasn't a lot of housing, period.
No.
I lived in a crappy house behind Cool Beans or behind the street across – what was that? So that's Oak. We lived in a house on Oak that was just a dump, just on the corner of Fry and Oak, basically. It was an absolute dump. And we lived there because we were close to we were bartending at Cool Beans, so we were close to work, and we didn't have to pay for parking at school. But it was trash. It was an absolute crap hole. Thinking about now, like how do
way to end the conversation on a positive note there.
Well, that's what we do here. We always talk about such positive things on GoMeanGreen.com.
Crap, it sucked. I hated it.
No, we're talking about the housing that wasn't good, and that's what I'm saying. I lived there. Yeah.
No, there wasn't. Kidding. There wasn't
You're
a lot
the one
of housing.
Crapped
down.
All over the season last year. I don't even want to
It's just changed a lot, but that's part of it. But I still think that one of the unique things, and even since Harry graduated. Back in the Reagan years.
The dark
we,
ages.
Nixon, I thought.
No, not it was after Nixon he graduated.
See, you can tell my generation that listens to this podcast,
LBJ.
No one has mentioned one time the State Club here. So that tells you, back in the day, the State Club was
He's going to be bringing up the pickup next.
Texas pickup was good, too. But that was after. you went to the pickup.
Yeah, the pickup was there.
Burned down.
I don't remember what year it burned down. Somebody looked that up. But that was, I think that was when I was there, or
what
right
was
afterwards.
Burned down in Denton.
Huh?
Interesting. Rick's?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. Well,
Rick's
you know.
Burns down like once a year.
The insurance policy gets quadrupled, and then it's like, time to go.
Or two other old school references, or actually three. Otay's. The library.
The library was cool.
And there was a place when you pulled in that sold this is
snow
so
cones. The liquor snow cones.
You could get a liquored up big old snow cone and just drive right up.
And now they put a lid on it. Now they taped
the
a lid on it. That's how they got
they
around
put a
it.
Lid on it, but still, it's like you're getting an alcoholic drink in your car. I mean,
yes, that was the whole thing. Barn. What was it called? I can't remember, but they would put a lid and seal
it. Was by
it.
The tire place.
Yeah, it would seal it.
Bridgestone or whatever.
Yeah, and by the bingo hall down there, which I don't even know what that is now.
Is anybody still listening?
I know. No. we're living in the memories.
Speaking
tonight.
Of rails, we have derailed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, and there's probably guys from the 70s and 80s, you know, oh, listening to this podcast going, all that crap was new.
Yeah.
Rick's, that's all new.
Yeah.
They remember when Fry Street was
back
like,
in
you know,
my day.
Yeah, you know, like a tailor and, you know, a hat maker or something. You know, you never know what those guys did. But that, King, Tony brought up the Flying Tomato. And the Flying Tomato.
Oh, don't drop his name. Don't let everybody know what his name is.
Oh, sorry,
man.
Sorry, King Dale.
Anonymity.
But
the Flying Tomato has to be the most that crossed the most years for this. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people I know spent good time at the
Flying Tomato. It was gone when you were there, right?
No, it was there the whole
time.
It
was still there?
Yeah. We spent a lot of time at the Tomato.
Oh, yeah. You know, Tomato was there. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went from the Flying Tomato
when
to the Tomato.
When did it burn down?
It burned down. That was
06,
05.
Well, yeah, that's right after he graduated.
Yeah, it was right when the Fry Street drama was happening.
I graduated, hung around for a little bit, was commuting to my job in Dallas, which I would never tell anybody to ever try to make that commute every day. That's suicidal. And I think Tomato burned down right after I left the Denton.
That was the first place I ate. When I went, I drove from my home in South Texas 6 hours to go to Denton. To do a tour to see if I wanted to go to school there, and we drove in and stayed out there by the Waffle House on 380 and 35, went through campus. It was like snowing. It was miserable, and we're like, okay, we went to Fry Street and we went to the Tomato, and my buddy and I were sitting there going, man, do we want to do this? You know, this is college we want to go, because we were both looking for a college. We're like, hey, we can be roommates. And we went in Tomato, and we were watching. These people got up and left, and there was a guy playing video games. And he saw the people leave, and he went over and grabbed all their pizza crust and stuffed them in his pocket.
And then went, I want to go to school here.
And then went back to playing the games and was eating those pizza crust. And we're like, wow. So that was my first experience at the Tomato.
I was 17. I came up to a concert at Rick's. I remember the band, it was Slow Roosevelt and Course of Empire, and I think Dusu was playing, and I was 17, and we went and ate at the Tomato, and that's when I was pretty sure I was going to go to North Texas because of the film program, and I was about a year away from graduating high school. But I remember, like, I want to work at the Tomato. Like, this place is so cool. And it's right across you from the music venue, and this is like, I want to, and then I ended up working for 4 years at a place like two doors down at Bean's, so I kind of did that, but I'm really glad I never worked at the Tomato. Like, I remember thinking, why the hell did I want to work there? Did it seem that cool to want to work there? You know,
where did you work when you were? Did you work on campus?
Oh man, all over. I worked at the longest job I had was working at Lowe's. I was a hardware and tool specialist at Lowe's.
Let's build something together. Yeah, together. What are you doing after this? You want to build something?
Yeah, let's do it together. Yeah.
With Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
You, me, Gene, we'll be good.
Yeah, but I worked all over the place and did pretty much any job I could get. I bartended a little bit, too.
Which word did you bartend
I worked at Lou's for a minute and Loophole.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then played a lot of music, so I used to work at Andy's, too. I don't know why we never crossed paths there.
That's weird.
We used to play at Andy's and Dan Silverleaf and Rubber Gloves all the time.
Yeah, we definitely know some of the same people then, for sure.
Yeah.
What band were you in?
Oh, boy. That's a long story, but it's... Well, I was in a lot of them, but probably the most notable one was called Hand Claps and Harmonies, which definitely played at Andy's when you were working there, Ashton. Like, any time between 2002 and 2005, we would have played there probably once a month.
Hand Claps and
Harmonies.
It sounds very polyphonic.
What instrument? Did you guys... Was
a lot of times.
We had that's when you play in the upstairs on the stage,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, on the stage.
Because I helped build that damn thing. We were just the band that I was with before that. We played on the floor. So at Andy's the upstairs at Andy's, and then we helped build that stage. It was always very precarious.
It was not
with the speaker hanging over your head.
It was not well
with
built.
The speaker that was literally hanging over your head.
Let's go build it together.
we need to go rebuild something together.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's still standing, but that's crazy. All right.
Hey, we got somebody in the chat room said the first show he saw was at Rick's when he got to campus was Mingo Fish Trap.
It's the greatest band name ever. We talked about this. That's the greatest band name ever.
It is a great band name.
Rick's was hopping for a long time.
And Bungle Americans. The first
Mabel Peabody's Chainsaw Repair.
That's a great name, too. Mabel Peabody's Chainsaw Repair. And wait, Hair Salon and Chainsaw Repair. That's what it was.
Is it Hair Salon, too? Okay.
No, Mabel Peabody's Hair Salon and Chainsaw Repair. The best thing about Mango Fish Trap, and we've talked about before, is when you're driving and you get to the corner. Of Mango and Fish Trap, and you're like, whoa.
When I found out that was how why they did it, I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah,
I was always like, man,
it's not a great intersection.
Random ass name for a band. And then, I'd heard that it was, because I knew there was two streets, but I never knew they intersected because I wasn't over that part of town that often. Yeah. I heard that's why they did it. I was like, oh, man, that's just.
Yeah, you weren't picking up women on that side of town.
Absolutely.
It's not.
Picking up something else.
Yeah, that was my first concert I saw at Rick's was Deep Blue Something, actually.
Oh, wow.
That was one of my...
I think Graham and I were maybe in, like, middle school then.
Yeah, probably so. So, yeah. It was probably about that time.
Breakfast
at
Tiffany's and stuff.
It was Breakfast at Tiffany's, and they still play that song. And what was bad is because we all heard the song, we liked the song, we were done with the song, and then it became popular, and we're like, okay, we're done with the song. 6 months later, it's on MTV and things, but you know that was.
They
that
had
was
some it. Other good stuff.
Well, too. I remember, you know, they did have some good songs on that album. You know, the Red Lights for the Morrisons. I mean, there was a lot of stuff there on that album. That was kind of like I remember that from college, because it was Denton.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was what was great.
Those
about
guys
it.
Got a large check, I think, like 2 years ago when Saturday Night Live did a skit and they had the Breakfast at Tiffany's song on there. I heard that all that whole band got a massive royalty check out of that.
Really
good for them.
I know, great for them. Yeah. It's like they're still sitting at home counting their money off of Breakfast at freaking Tiffany's.
We should all be so lucky.
I know.
No,
that's going to be Go Mean Green one day.
Totally.
We know it.
Never know.
You heard it here first, kids.
Yeah.
No, we've discussed this. If North Texas puts together like some crazy year and some crazy winning seasons ranked, I'm out. I can't handle it. I just
quit while you're ahead.
You'll get forced out. Like, new blood will come in and push us all
away. Exactly,
leg.
Because, you know, I've been part of the underdog for so long. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be on top. I like being the underdog and fighting for the school's honor. If we ever, like, are reputable,
it would be weird. It'd be like wearing a different kind of clothes or something. It's been so long.
It would be like not wearing pants.
Well, I remember going. I remember going into the. That's weird. I remember going into the 2014 season, coming off the ball win and the good year. I remember it felt strange. There was something very different about that year, and I had some friends that were talking to me that went to better schools in athletics, and their schools didn't make bowl games or didn't win bowl game. And it was like I was part of the winning team, and they were not, but they're. Teams are always better than ours, so it was really like a strange.
The cool kids
off-season.
Aren't that great, man.
No,
it's not cool to sit at that table.
It's not cool to win, kids. Just remember that.
Well, I think it's just because we're always wanting to be there.
Song, Evan.
We're always wanting to be there. That I think when we get there,
yeah.
For me, when we finally get there, I'm just gonna go.
Well,
I'd like to test that out.
Yeah.
I'd like to test
that
out.
Let's see how it feels.
I think that's it. I mean, because we've all been, and that's the thing. I mean, because you could grab anybody that's listening to this podcast, anybody in this room, and go back and say, tell me about the glory years.
I mean, honestly, Graham was in the golden years.
But those were
all one and a half of them.
Yeah, and those were glory years, but those really weren't that glorious.
No.
We weren't.
Our division with a losing record.
Right.
You went to one. Yeah, that was the first one.
You got to go back to like.
We lost to Troy to have the losing. Yeah,
you got to go back to like Hayden Fry in the 70s. And even then, it kind of became hollow and empty because those wins were hoping they could propel them into the Southwest Conference. And instead, we were stiff armed out of that. And then after that, it just got depressing. So
and that part of some of the discussions Graham and I had prior to having him here on the podcast, you know, his expertise is in advertising and branding and trying to, and you know, the thing for me is you look at North Texas and we talked about the facilities, they've just dramatically improved. You look at the student, you know, the academics keep, you know, they just got Carnegie designation earlier in the year, you know, things seem to be skyrocketing in so many areas. The town of Denton, I mean, just go on and on. But athletics, it just seems to be, and you wonder sometimes, I mean, is it bad luck? Is it not enough resources?
I mean, we're not the only school that deals with that kind of problem, though. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think as North Texas fans, we sit there and get so negative and we just get so beaten down that we do kind of sound like, you know, we're the only victim of that. I mean, that's not the case. But
you're
I mean,
right. You're right. But
you know, there are schools in bigger cities even that, I mean.
And there are some schools that you know, got rid of their program.
SMU.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of schools that have, you, and you have scum schools that, that right now, like SMU or a Rice, who are going to have a tough time being competitive because of scholarships, because of academics. You, there's a lot of things changing, and they don't have the old money that's going to keep their football propped up because the new people that will have the money aren't interested in athletics.
Just think about if Larry Brown didn't get hired at SMU. I mean, they wouldn't have had a good basketball program.
Right.
I mean, they were going down fast, and, I mean, Larry Brown almost saved the school in a sense by cheating, but saved, you know.
But you're right.
I mean, the level of, you know, hope for the school and just and excitement in anywhere, you know, if he wasn't there, I mean, June Jones is on the way out, was just looking, it was bad. The football program had gotten bad. It went from bad to good.
They
to
lost
really
to
bad.
North Texas.
Yeah. And I mean, when you do that, you know, man.
And see, and that's
just, that's interesting to think, like, what would SMU, they'd be in a worse situation because they're in Dallas. I mean, they're in a bigger city than Denton, you know. And I mean, again, we sit there and talk about how bad it is for us, but, you know, we're not.
No, we are in a good position because we have a student body who are not the, not going to write the next, you know, chemistry Nobel Prize. I mean, we, you know, a lot of schools like Rice have this real high academic level. They don't care about the athletics. We have a lot of, I don't want to say, you know, blue collar, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mid-level fans that are education or art, you know, or there's a lot of people that would follow athletics that will support the program in the future. And so we're in a good position that way. And we're in a good area. We're in a city that's really glowing right now. There's a lot of colleges that are in the similar type of academics, similar where we are, that don't have that location, don't have that panache to their city that they're in. And so this is it's a good place for us. Just, we just got to capitalize on it.
But I think for all the reasons you just mentioned and a million more, that's why athletics is so important right now. Because if you look at, so we all know there's an arms race happening right now in college athletics. You know, if you look at even the revenue that's being spent and the budgets that are being stimulated just in the last 10 years to now, I mean, it's more than doubled. I saw something earlier that's even a couple of years old now that took a look at the top 50 teams in college sports. And in 2004, I think it was, they were spending like $2 billion. And in 2014, it was like $4.5 billion. And there's a really obvious reason for that. It's because if you're a college brand, which they are, we are making a product. There's no other way of looking at it. If you're a college brand, you get a precious few chances every year to be a part of the national conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be winning Grammys, which we do. And it could be getting a Carnegie designation, which we do. But for the most part, you have a rare few opportunities to be a part of Water Cooler Talk. And like, we just got out of March Madness, right? How many times a year is St. Joseph's or Dayton a part of the conversation?
Never.
Right?
No.
Well, exactly.
Villanova for that matter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Villanova.
It's
yeah.
A visibility.
Butler. So, but you know, if you are St. Joseph's and suddenly you upset someone in the 64 round, you make it to the 32 round, you make it to Sweet 16, you are a daily topic of conversation, and people can't help but explore a little bit more, especially when that brand of that athletics team actually means something. And I think that's where right now we have so much to offer as a university. It becomes that much more important that athletics as a megaphone for that is better and stronger and louder, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just given our size in the state of Texas, you know, being the third largest public school, you want us to be better in athletics than we are, and you look and you think that we should. And I think any diehard fan just thinks that we should, but I've always kind of been on the camp that really wants that to be the case, but I don't understand the why we should part all the time. I think some people have a difference of opinion there where they just expect us to be good, and because we always have been, but we haven't always been.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's not like we have that much pedigree.
Right, it's changing, and then there's no doubt that college athletics is changing all around, and how they're gonna keep things, the programs that have been successful in the past, or you know, can they catch, you know, catch lightning and do something with it. then you've got schools like Texas, and like I know right now in the school district that I'm in, I know some kids that are going to be seniors, and the school district, all the people where they're going to school, the people that are in that top 10% of auto admission, I can tell you that maybe out of that top 10%, there might be 5% that care about athletics. Yeah. The rest of them have no, they are all about academics, going to school on weekends already. They're focused on different things. And so like University of Texas is a choice for a lot of people. They're bringing in a lot of students that don't care about athletics, but they've got the brand. They've got the brand. They've got the t-shirt fans.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And University of Texas. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Texas.
Go to one of those games, and we went to the last time North Texas played there. You look around, and it's like, how many of these people ever actually went to school here?
Right, and that's the thing. That's A&M's doing really good because they've got people that are in that mid-tier that do care about athletics, and they've got the tradition. They get those people in there, and they've got the huge, you know, they've got it, but they don't have where as many they got a lot of t-shirt fans too. But
let me play devil's advocate.
It's UT though, but yeah.
So yeah. I'm playing devil's advocate. I agree with what you're saying, Evan, in principle, but here's the other side of that. We can't seem to get it done for a myriad of reasons. But yet, why does UTSA start up a program and defeat us? Why does Louisiana Tech, that's located in Ruston, Louisiana, manage to dominate the conference? Why does you get the direction I'm going here? Is,
but then it's not like they've been dominating the conference for a while. I mean, they had a crap year the year before last.
I mean, Louisiana Tech's done pretty good the last 2 years.
I mean, the last 20 years.
And really the last 20 years, if you compare it. Yeah, that's it. I understand what you're saying. There's ups and downs in mid-majors. But I think that's where the some of the negativity stems from. Why is it so hard when we have all – I would argue, put us in – and I'm saying just Conference USA. Put UT and A&M off to the side. But look at Conference USA schools, and I would put North Texas up against any – one of those schools academically, location, financially.
Yeah.
I mean,
job placement.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Now, Rice is a different animal, but let's be honest. I mean, Rice is a very small little.
But are you really surprised that, you've brought up the Ruston. I know the Ruston thing really bothers you. They're in Ruston, you know, and they do better than us. But, I mean, do you really think that the location matters that much? With a school that like has any kind of history or pedigree or just, I mean,
I think it does.
In the Big Ten country are in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Yeah, but that's the Big Ten. I mean, I'm talking Conference USA. I agree with you. College Station.
We just got in the conference. I mean, it's not like we've been in there for.
That's true. That's true. But so did everyone else just get in. A lot of these other schools just got in the conference too. It's almost a brand new conference.
Big Ten's going to draw a lot of people that just are in that area.
History.
It's big. Yeah, and it's history, and they've got names and
legacies.
And yeah, you're exactly right.
Grandfather went to Purdue. West Lafayette's in the middle of friggin' nowhere.
Right.
But I'm just saying that because this is what the detractors on the board and everywhere else bring up all the time, is that why can't it get done here?
Well,
why?
I think we're just overdue. I really do. I think we are overdue. And it's
overdue or do things wrong.
No, I think we're overdue for getting a jump start. I mean, I feel like when you get a few winning, it kind of happens when something happens, falls into place, then other things can happen, fall into place. You start getting the recruits, and so you've got to have that spark. You've got to have something.
Or a signature win, even.
A signature win.
Just
the
like
season
TCU
we
and
had,
Baylor have done in the past 8, 9, 10 years to get to where they are now, basically.
It built. Yeah. And so if we just couldn't capitalize, the year that we had in the bowl game and stuff, that was still not the greatest of years. The next year, we were hoping to capitalize, but the cupboard was bare. I mean, there was a lot of things that just happened. We just have not been able to capitalize and keep it going.
I think you also have to have that vision and execute on it. I mean, there's not that many Cinderella stories. And even when they are, the Cinderella story is usually attached to a long tale of a vision that was being executed on over and over and over again consistently for a long time.
Let me check to see if Graham's name was on that banner donation list.
It wasn't, for the record.
And you don't get a lot of sustaining.
That's not a knock against any administration or anything. I think it's.
But do you think that the I feel like that with the enhancements to the program, the facilities. Gosh, I remember when Dickie's last year's there.
Right.
The facilities were so bad. And we've come so far. It's like everything is in place. We just got to have that one little stick. I mean, one spark. We've got the fuel. We got the air. We've got the compression. Just got to have that spark to get it all moving.
Well, but let me ask you this, to play devil's advocate too. What does North Texas athletics mean? Like, if you're a kid that's down the street, or you're in, you know, northwestern Louisiana, or you're in Oklahoma somewhere, and you've got six tabs open to six different recruiting sites for Louisiana Tech and UTSA and Tulsa and us and UTEP.
That's a great question.
And I think that's the vision that I'm talking about. Not necessarily, you know, not executing on a master plan or not having a, you know, administration roadmap or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about.
I mean, from just a purely football standpoint, I'm saying up before Latrell hire, I think you think like old school, you know, run the football. And I know I'm not talking about just, but I think people kind of thought of it as sort of lunch pail, run the ball, very conservative type of program under Mac. But in terms of like a brand for either athletics or football, however you want to phrase it, that's a very valid question. I mean, I think you brought up TCU. I always think back to TCU that one year when Coach Fran was there and they somehow squeaked into the Rose Bowl, Sun Bowl in El Paso, and then they played USC and squeaked out a win. That was that year for them, and that led them to be where they are now, and they capitalized on it. But there is, I mean, I think when you think about TCU, when you're asking the same question Graham's asking, you think about, wow, winning program, you know, bowl wins. I mean.
Right. But I think in North Texas, if we could get, I mean, it's not going to be easy. But I think you could at least build and carry momentum, where schools like Rice will have a good year. You can't carry momentum because they can't get a steady stream of high caliber players with the academic standards they have. Tulsa's the same way. SMU is going to have that problem too. And the student body's not going to be behind them. They've got a bigger battle ahead of them than North Texas does.
Which I don't disagree. I don't care about anybody else's battle. I want to see North Texas win the battle and have success. And I hate to see the apathy is my biggest fear. You know, I see it with, I think the fan base right now is that it's just sort of apathetic. It's like, had a terrible season. I think there is some hope for the future, but it's sort of like, prove it to me. You know,
That's exactly right. You're going to have a lot of people that are going to go, I want to see them win, put some stuff together before I start buying tickets, before I start coming to the game. You're going to have that.
I mean, you're a diehard fan, Harry, and when somebody like you has to say something like that, then you know that things are wrong. Like when the four of us sitting around this table right now are all diehard fans, have had season tickets, have donated money, blah, 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 whatever, all the things we've done. We're all questioning a lot right now. And we're not all of our mentalities towards and our feelings towards the program are, you know, and not just football, not just basketball, just athletics in general. We all just kind of, you know, are kind of up in the air with what we're thinking. I mean, you're talking about you want to see how the hiring went, or how the spring went before you renew your season tickets. I mean, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have done that. You know, you were signing up right there. And
well,
we were just
the
as
stadium.
Bad.
The no, stadium we were, was very
no, no,
exciting.
But we were just as bad. So it's like something there's clearly, when there's a dissension like that with the fan base of the diehards, then there's obviously some problems.
And we've seen a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what the problems, I mean, are. We could go down a list, and everybody's got their own opinions. You know, that's what athletics are for. But
I think it's just a lot of people that get so upset because it doesn't work out time and time again. And they just keep, you know, you just keep beating your head against the wall, hoping that it'll change the outcome. And I think, and that's, and there's a lot of people that like that, and I don't think they have enough else going on in their life.
Back to Graham's point, though, how do you brand losing? You know, I mean, how do you, what is the, is it, yeah, you know, what is the way, what is the way to.
For the television show.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the Green.
Season 3 starting.
Oh, how do you brand it?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's losing is one way to look at it, but I think, you know, like something we were talking about before we turned on the mics is there's a lot of what they call challenger brands out there in the world. And what I mean by that is, you know, for every Nike, there's also an Adidas and a Puma and a Reebok, right? And what time and time again you see with challenger brands that succeed is they have to do something different. You know, they have to embrace that Puma's never going to out Nike, right? Audi's never going to out BMW. So it forces them to do something that's totally different. And I think that's where a brand can start. I don't think you go, UNT, we're the losers. Come see us.
Well, it's like, you know, a close friend of mine who was in advertising said, you know, APHIS, their whole motto is we try harder. And that's their love. Like, we mm-hmm. try harder. They're telling you, like, we're going to try harder because we're number 2, 3, 4, whatever. We're not number one.
Right.
And I think that's, yeah, I mean, that.
And I think
a great point.
That comes.
I mean, that's.
That comes out in, like, certainly, there, like, when we talk about branding and things, there's, like, advertising or marketing is a part of that. But nowadays, when people talk about branding, it's not, that's a tiny piece of the puzzle. It's much more about that, figuring out that, like, what do we stand for? And that vision, and then making that the kind of guiding light for certainly like what kind of marketing do we put out there, but also what kind of hires do we make? What kind of performance does the band make at
halftime?
What
are the results? That's the problem, is you need the results.
Yeah, and you look at what's positive. What can you hang out on? Well, you've got a great city, and everybody's pretty much agree on that. You've got the music program, it's not mainstream or oversold. It's kind of a grassroots music scene, you know. So you've got a lot of things, but and those necessarily don't really go with athletics as much as some things. But you got to look at the positives of what there is.
And I think you're building something, you know. And I know we've heard that, you know. That's what's hard about this is you hear that when Matt gets hired, we're building something, and then it. But
are
I
you
still
saying that we're doing that now, like we're building something now?
Yeah, I'm saying that with Latrell and the coaching staff, and I mean, it's kind of like what we tried to do with Mac, but it didn't work out. But we all those things Evan's talking about, like the stadium and the city and all that stuff. You've got that infrastructure. It's, you know, we're trying to build this program to match the rest of the pieces around it. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe part of the sell is we're building something really special. Jump on board, you know, get involved now. Because it's going to be a fun ride or something.
I almost think that we may have missed the mark on that or missed the time to do that, though, because now there's been so much negativity and bad things happen. We need something good to happen and not just hiring. Freaking results. We need some wins or something like that.
We need to have results.
And then start from there.
Right, to show people what's going on. But even though we've had horrible results, we're going to have a great crowd there opening game because – As weird as this sounds, and we didn't have this in previous, you know, back when I was in school there, we get a lot of people to show up and a lot of students, more students than have ever come. I know the university has grown, but a percentage, there's a lot more students that have ever shown up as a percentage of the student body. They come to the games, and then we're not talking, you know, we're talking a lot of art students and music students. They come to the games.
And part of that is, and give the athletic department credit when credit's due, they have been reaching out to the when
absolutely.
And I was going to ask you, Graham, when you were there, and maybe you too, Ashton, did they have any type of orientation to athletics or any type of training to be a fan of athletics when y'all were there? Because they do that now, is why.
We got a little bit of it, but not like they do now. I mean, I was just talking to them yesterday, and it's a huge part of freshman orientation now is go down to Apogee Stadium.
Mac used to hold a big thing. Yeah, Mac used to have a thing.
Every incoming freshman
I covered that for
together.
The first season. It was great. And I was so surprised when some of the off-season shooting going into the first episode, Capper, you know, called them and said, hey, one of the things we want to cover for the first episode is orientation. I was like, what orientation? Student orientation? I'm going to go have to shoot some boring ass. And he's like, no.
Did they ever do anything like that at
Apogee? And it starts with No.
See, I don't they didn't want to take anyone too fast.
Everyone would have quit immediately before the semester.
Dropped out of school. Yeah.
And you know, at the same time, you also had charismatic coach with Mac, who's like, you know, kind of just fun to listen to sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it was great. And he said, you know, I think I used the part where he's like, we're going to beat Idaho's ass. And it was like, that's just like, yeah. Like,
it's fun.
And that's the thing. Idaho's so, and you're right. And that I didn't think that they did it because I didn't go to it. But
they didn't have it.
Actually, we had orientation, but it was like in the Fine Arts building or
JJ's
something.
JJ's Pizza or something like that, like in the basement.
Whatever that theater,
yeah.
Whatever that auditorium was.
It wasn't very
was
organized.
Over, yeah.
And it wasn't mandatory, and it wasn't like they march them
no.
in now.
And this
they
is good
down
because
down
it gets them a sense of identity for the school, a sense of belonging to the school, and that was huge. So.
And they're building that, and that's a good – that's when you talk about the student, I think it's directly correlated to that because now they know about it, and they understand that it's important, where before they weren't getting that indoctrination. So
absolutely.
All right, so I've had the fight song playing for the last 10 minutes.
It's time.
Sorry, it is time. Graham, thanks for joining us. You're by far the most successful, impressive person we've ever had on the podcast.
Doubtful.
RV is like really mad at you right now.
Oh, I forgot about RV. But we have, you are definitely the most successful.
No, thank you guys.
No, you know what? No, it is. It's cool and it's great. And you got a great radio voice. So this is
going to have you back again. I know you're in New York City, but you know.
Hey, man, I plan on being back often, especially during the season. And if you guys are coming to the Army game, let me know. I'll be there.
You got the hookup.
Right. Yeah.
Nice.
Always talking about
on
the
up.
Army game. Yeah, I mean, we need to get an RV and drive. Yeah.
That would be fun.
And podcast on the road.
We always plan these. We always make these elaborate plans to do these road trips, and then things just kind of fall by the wayside.
Well, that's because the season
starts. By things,
out,
we mean wins.
So
by wayside, we mean turf and by.
We had 6 listeners for the last podcast, man. Why do we want to do it on the road? Yeah. The weather's going to be horrible.
Dash is just going to sit in the passenger seat and drink the whole time, and it's going to be gold. It's going to be radio gold.
Yeah. So, Graham, thanks for joining us. And not sure when the next podcast will be because, you know, it's kind of the off season. I think when everybody really starts getting fired up is when Dave
After
Campbell.
After the spring game.
Well, when Dave Campbell Texas football comes up. No, I think a spring game. Well, I don't know. We might do one after.
We'll
do
after the spring game.
Yeah, we'll see
maybe.
How it goes.
We'll
yeah.
see how it goes, and then we'll take it from there. All right. So with that, we'll sign off. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green. Go Mean Green.